Hello, and welcome to the first episode of a new show here on Rhythm and Wit. This show is called Creative Inclinations, and it is a one-on-one conversation show about art, music, culture, entertainment, and more with me, David Steele. And with me today is my first guest, Barclay. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. Thanks for coming.
Yes.
Thank you. Just a little closer, but
thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, this is something I've been wanting to do for a while. Like I was saying, like I started a new job a couple months ago, and I had this set up because I knew I wasn't going to have as much time to edit as I used to. So I was like, I need to figure out a new way to do the show and not have to edit it. So I have the new setup where I can switch cameras on, you know, while we record. And so that's been super easy. And while going into that, I was like, oh, I can do a podcast like at night and just do, have one person come over and record a show with just me and like be able to do more interviews. Cause there's always so many people that want to be on the show or that I've talked to about being on the show that it's just like, okay, they're still, you know, that was months ago and I still haven't had fit them in doing the once a week thing. So this is what this show is. So thanks for watching everyone and checking it out. And yeah, so we're just going to talk to Barclay about being creative because you are definitely one of the most creative people I think I know.
Thanks.
I mean, you and Elena and the whole gallery, of course.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Yeah. So how's it going? You're a visual artist.
Yes.
So how long have you been a visual artist? Like, when did you start that kind of thing? Like, what, take me back to the beginning, like as a kid, I think.
Yeah. So I've always considered myself an artist. Mm-hmm. Ever since I could remember, I was making things. And I was really shy as a kid, and I didn't really talk a lot. I was like almost a mute, I think.
Right, yeah.
Like I was even afraid to talk to some of my family members.
Mm-hmm.
And so like communicating was kind of... I guess it was easier for me to communicate with what I made and my hands and like placing things in different places or, you know, or just making something. So, I've just always seen myself as an artist.
Right. Yeah. So you like to use your hands because that's something I think that I relate to a lot because I like creating things using my hands and body. I think like music is very like a, you know, bodily kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think that something a part of that is like it helps to relax you when you're using your physical, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're not so up in here in your mind. And so it's like another way to get things out, like get energy out.
Right, yeah.
And instead of like it, like just stewing
you in kind
there.
Of like burn off that anxious energy a little bit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that seems like that's why, you know, that kind of led you into creating art and expressing yourself through art, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Also, I do think that, you know, your hands are kind of like a brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that you can think with just picking things up and utilizing them as tools. I mean, we've always, as humans, we've always, I think, you know, that was part of our evolution was using our hands and making tools to make a fire or get food.
We created like tools like hammers and knives and things like that, right?
Yeah, in order to sustain ourselves.
Yeah, it makes sense for sure. It's definitely a very natural human. And that's something that you don't have to do anymore, right? Like there's like as a evolution as humans, we've come to, that's what I think about a lot too. It's like why people do so many drugs and get into mischief or whatever, crimes and stuff, because it's like life just isn't as exciting as it has been in a way that it's like you don't have to. I mean, there are definitely plenty of people that are struggling to survive in the world, but not in this necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily the same way where we're like cavemen trying to survive the literal, you know, dangers around every corner. So
yeah, we don't really have to make our own shelters. Right. I mean, someone else kind of makes them for us, but like we could make our own shelters.
A lot of people, especially today, right? Like everyone is just, you know, after the pandemic, so many people just work from home. So you don't even have to leave your house anymore. You know? Which is really sad. And a lot of people are living like that. And they just DoorDash everything. Yes. They don't even have to leave to get food. I mean, that's...
I was one of those DoorDashers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I've thought about. I almost did this before I got this new job. Because since I started at FedEx 2 months ago, it's about 3 months almost, and I got a new job, but I was like this close to like, I like FedEx. I think it was fun, but it was tough. It was physically challenging in a way where I used so much energy doing that I would come home and have just no energy to do anything else, like creating the things that I want to do, like podcasts and things. Like I was saying, that whole thing with this type of show was like, I don't have energy for that. What am I going to do? But I was like this close to be like, DoorDash is pretty good money, I've heard.
Yeah, it does. Like, I mean, you're using gas.
Yeah.
And you're using your putting more miles on your car. Mm-hmm. And like, it is a little taxing, like getting in and out of your car over and over again. Yeah. But I mean, for a little bit more money,
it's and it's like, my thing was like, you could make your own hours pretty much. Or, you know, if you didn't. Mm-hmm. If I needed to shoot a video or something like that, I didn't have to like worry about trying to get off of work or something. You just not go to work that day.
I'm definitely feeling the effects of, like, you know, having another job and like, I want to put my energy into making things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely feel like, you know, having another job, it's taking all of my energy and then I'm using the leftover energy to do what I want.
Yeah, and then it's not going to be as good if you don't. I mean, you're kind of just struggling to like scrape something together, you know, which is like not what you want to do with your art or whatever you create.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel like it also makes me do those things because if I was doing art full time, which eventually I do want to do.
That's the goal.
Yes. But I feel like I would just procrastinate and be like, oh, I have time to do that. There's and then no I won't. Yeah, there's no urgency. Exactly. So it's kind of like a, you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing, I think. Yeah.
Like I said, I think that's a good point because you do. Especially when you're at work, you're just thinking about like, oh, I can't wait to get off so I can do whatever I really want to do.
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of motivating in that way a little bit.
Yeah, because I'm going to use the time that I have left to do those things that I really want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not a lot. So that's something, well, I want to just stick on the art stuff because what is you do a lot of different mediums. I guess, one question I had was, I know that you went to school for art and you studied art. So can you talk about that? Like, where did you go? What was that like?
So I went to UCO and I had a studio art I didn't get my degree.
Oh, okay.
But I went, I went to UCO for studio art. And I was not, like, I didn't graduate. Mm-hmm. I went for 3 years and I was too busy partying and socializing, which I did learn a lot from like hosting parties and like organizing people and understanding how, like, you know, how to host things and all of that and what that entails. And
that's
then
definitely going into your skills today because you, you know, host all kinds of stuff at the gallery.
Right. So it's interesting. Yeah. It kind of like, I didn't realize that I was gaining a skill, but I was having fun, like, being more outgoing. Mm-hmm. I think, like,
and trying to find your own voice too, because you said yes. you struggled all that time, I'm sure, up to that point, right?
Yeah. So in high school, mm-hmm. I think I opened up a lot too, mm-hmm. because I moved here, mm-hmm. moved to Oklahoma from Colorado, and I didn't want to be here. I had to, like, start all over again,
yeah,
meet new tough. Friends, and mm-hmm. like getting into high school, and you're still meeting new, like, you're meeting new people.
Yeah. It was,
like, I had to kind of, like, get out of that shyness, mm-hmm. but luckily I had friends that, like, pulled me out of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's high school was when I really got into being passionate about mm-hmm. art.
Yeah.
My art teacher was amazing. Miss yeah. Fisher in Ardmore. We were doing college level stuff in high nice. School, and that's when I really got into sculpting with mm-hmm. clay and making these larger sculptures, because mm-hmm. she did not give us a lot of, like, she didn't put any boundaries mm-hmm. on us. She was like, whatever you want to do, we're going to make sure that mm-hmm. you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had the supplies. So they said, yeah, don't run free.
And she would, like, use her own finances yeah. to, mm-hmm. because, you know, the arts aren't very yeah. well financed. That's probably most in schools.
I imagine that's a lot of art teachers. I don't know.
It's right. A lot of art teachers do mm-hmm. put their own money into buying materials and things, because the materials for artists are expensive, mm-hmm. and you need a lot of them yeah. in order to make things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think I was doing college level stuff in high school. And then when I went to UCO, I was more focused on socializing.
Yeah.
But I did learn a lot there too. Mm-hmm. A lot about painting. That's when I started painting mm-hmm. more, I think, in high school. I focused more on
sculptures,
three stuff. Dimensions. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I understand space a mm-hmm. lot. And,
okay.
And then in college, I got to learn color and mixing colors. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's when I was like, oh, this painting thing is pretty cool.
And that's interesting you say that, because it's definitely something I hadn't really thought about, but you do explore space in your 2D paintings. I mean, mm-hmm. it feels there are a lot of, most of them, if I think about it, they are very three-dimensional feeling. Like, you feel like you can go into them, I think.
Cool, yeah. I do try to yeah. mix depth yeah. for sure. Yeah, I definitely explore three dimensions mm-hmm. on my
That's awesome.
2D things. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely keep that in mind next time I really see some of your stuff. Because I already can think you do a lot of spheres and
yeah.
the human shapes that are, you know, what are they, forms and things
mm-hmm.
that you create are very three-dimensional. So.
Yeah, I like spheres because we mm-hmm. live on a sphere.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's kind of like getting back to the earth mm-hmm. almost
yeah.
and trying to pull focus back to that,
yeah,
because I think that's important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely something I think about, the earth, right? It's just like this weird bubble in the
yes.
universe,
and
that
it's
like
just floating in
and
the...
I think that one thing with that is like that's just actually all we are, is this bubble, and like we're actually
yeah.
not separate, we're actually all the same.
Yes.
And it's just molecules within that bubble that are pushing and pulling on each other and
yeah.
turning into different things. I mean,
kind of like a cell.
Yeah.
Like we're just like a giant cell.
But that's something I've kind of had the revelation of probably within the past year about, is just like how connected actually everything is, because what else is there? I mean, there's
right. Yeah.
We're all just here together, and like,
as much as we want to leave and mm-hmm. go somewhere else in the universe,
yeah.
we can't do that yet.
Yeah.
So we might as well just be here.
Right. Well, I think about it because everybody just feels, we feel so separate from everything else, because our brain does that. But like, really,
yeah.
it's not. I mean,
because it's like, we know that, like, that's your body
yeah.
and this is my mm-hmm. body. And like, and our brains like separate
yeah.
that. And so, and then we also like, I don't know. I think there's just a lot of brain loops happening
mm-hmm.
and like you get trapped in there.
Yeah. But that's what I think was so good about art too, is just, exploring those things too.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
And kind of like you said, kind of seeing things from different perspectives. I mean, other people's perspective for one, just
I like to, ask the viewer, or I love hearing what the viewer has to see in my paintings, because a lot of the time I don't see that at all. Right. And I'm, and then when I'm like, what you see a person in a boat? What? And then I like look at my own piece differently. Yeah,
it changes your perspective.
And then, and then I'm like, okay, I see that. And so maybe I was like subconsciously painting that and I didn't even realize it. So I'm like learning about myself by what other people see in my work. It's really cool. And that gives it another kind of depth, I think.
Right. Yeah, in different ways. I mean, I had a question about, well, I guess because this kind of transitions into the gallery, but because you took a lot of classes, did you learn things that you use now to like, because have you taught any classes at the gallery yet?
I have.
A couple, maybe.
I taught a few watercolor classes. They were very small and intimate, but I think I needed that.
It'd be probably better. You don't want to jump in and try to teach 20 people something.
Yes. And like, it's different. Like, I feel like when I do art, it is a lot of like meditation and like I'm in my own head. And so, and like instructing someone on how to do something is completely different, especially that everyone is different. So like, it's hard for me to explain how to do something. I'm just like, oh, you just do this. And then like people are like, what? And I'm like, no, you just do this. It's that simple. And, you know, like for me, it's simple. But for someone else, they don't see it that way. So it's hard for me to just like guide them, I guess. So it was a lot of learning trying to teach someone. And I'll have to like relearn how to do that. Keep trying.
I think the more you do it, you'll I think that something about it, because I think about teaching. I think that I will be some sort of teacher one day, I think. I think, I mean, I could be now if I, you know, I have enough knowledge to be able to share with other people and, you know, but, or, you know, in certain types of things, right? I would think maybe with music is one that, I mean, we're playing bass anyway, not necessarily all music, but I can definitely teach somebody how to play the bass. But I think that when it comes down, I mean, I just kind of speculate on, I think that the key is to like get people to practice, you know, it's like you were saying, you can show someone, oh, this is how you make this kind of line or whatever, but it's like, yeah, and you do it and you've had so much practice doing it, so it looks super easy, but someone else is like, I've never done that before. I don't know how to do that.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to do it over and over and over and over.
Yeah, that repetition. And
that's all you can, I think, as a teacher, you can really do is like teach someone how to practice for them to get, you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I don't know, but maybe that could help, it, you know, next time you try it, just because...
Just do this over and over and over again. Yeah,
because I think about with drawing. I used to draw a lot when I was a kid, and I moved away from it and got into graphic computer art because I was like, I was never the best like at drawing. Like my, I have a hard time getting the shapes and things that I want the way that I want them, you know. And but a lot of that too, I've learned now, of course, is that I should have just kept drawing 1,000 eyeballs, you know, or 1,000 arms or 1,000 legs, you know, it's like to get those proportions, because that's the only way you're going to get it is to do it over and over and over.
Yeah. It's kind of like your hand and your brain are trying to like connect.
It's the same thing with music in that way is, you know, like trying to play something on an instrument. It's like your brain knows what it needs to do, but that's not as easy as getting your hand to do that.
Yeah. Cause sometimes like you have to train your fingers, you know, I remember trying to, or learning the guitar and like my fingers don't do that. What about, am I supposed to put my hand way over here? But it's just like your finger has to learn that muscle. Like it has to build the muscles just like any other muscle, you know?
Yeah. I definitely think about that a lot with music is that at this point I've been playing bass for almost 20 years or about 20 years. And, I did take a break. I always throw this caveat in because like it bothers me, you know, but it's like It's not a straight 20. It's like it was about 10, about 6 years, and then I took about 4 or 5 year break and didn't really play much at all, mm-hmm. and then came back and almost had to relearn it and learned a lot, and it made me better, I think, in a lot of ways having to do that. But anyways. So I always throw that in. It's like about 15, I would say, consistent years.
Yeah.
And but at this point, it's like I don't play the music. It's like my body is playing something. Like yeah. I hear it. I hear like Josh comes in with a song, chord progression and lyrics, you know, vocal melody. And I listen to it and like I don't even think about anything, but I'm just taking it in. And then I pick up the bass, or it's like I might hear some notes and things that it's like, okay, I kind of know what this is going to be. But I pick up the bass and then just start doing something, and it turns, you know, and you do that a few times, and it turns into a bass line, and it's like, I don't know what that, where that actually came from, but it's there.
I feel like that, like, I understand that feeling when I'm, like, drawing or something. You kind of just go, and it's weird, like... And that's from, like, repeating so many times, you kind of get that muscle memory. But then, like, once you learn that, that part shuts off. And then you're only, like, you're only working with those vibrations of the music.
Right, yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah, your brain isn't doing anything, but your body is. Yeah. Like you're saying, I feel like my hands, they do have a brain of their own. Because they're over here just... figuring this weird thing out.
It's like you have to learn how to get out of your way. And then, you have to like learn how to turn your brain off at these moments so that the music can flow through naturally, or the creative flow.
Whatever the art, if you're painting or drawing. Yeah, I think this kinds of things are exactly why I want to have a podcast and with creative people, because it's like there's so many connections between all of this stuff, whether it's music, art, or
You know. And honestly, like, you do learn a lot from just talking about it and getting it out there, and then you like realize this thing.
So I think that you can like, I can listen to someone talk about comedy, you know, or especially performance, because I love performance. Performing arts of all kinds, but like that's why I love comedy so much, and because it's just pure expression of, you know, like someone's thoughts you know, into a microphone,
and even if they're embarrassing or something, we're just gonna laugh about it.
There's so much that you can learn from, what, you know, as a performer, you know, you could be an actor and learn so much from a comedian, or you can be a comedian, learn something from a musician, you know, because it's slight, there are a lot of differences, but at the core, there are very similarities for sure.
I hope these Sharpies don't smell too bad.
That's okay. It's probably, I always like that smell, honestly, in a way. Obviously, when it gets real strong, you're like, you know, it can be overwhelming, but it's like the smell of gasoline, too. It's like something about it.
Why does it smell good?
I don't know, but so let me transition here, because you are a part owner of an art gallery.
Yeah.
How long is that? That's been almost 2 or 3 years.
Almost 2 years.
Oh, two, okay.
Yeah, so we started, so the whole project was, it's been me and Elena Anderson and Guinevere Langer. We started an art gallery, and we weren't going into it thinking we were starting an art gallery.
It became something of its own.
It kind of created itself almost. We wanted to have a space to work with, where, you know, I don't have a lot of space in my apartment, and we wanted like studio space.
Especially if you wanted to make bigger things that, you know.
We wanted to experiment with immersive art. We've never like built anything like that before. We started this project, so we wanted to do that. And we wanted a place for people to just come and view what we had, our art.
I mean, you wanted it to be a gallery of your stuff.
Yeah, right, exactly. and then we started bringing other artists mm-hmm. in, and like, and because we couldn't pay for the space,
right.
really.
So you kind of had to. It was like a necessity, right?
Yes, yes. We're like, well, in order to pay for this space, we're going to have to let mm-hmm. the community come and mm-hmm. enjoy it with us and help us pay for this space. And so we kind of made this artist collective of people that also wanted to share their art and have people come and view it and do something cool with other artists. Mm-hmm. And so we started a gallery, and we incorporated the immersive art in with other people's mm-hmm. art to create this interesting experience that, you know, you can't really find anywhere else.
For sure, especially in Oklahoma. I think that's something that, I mean, I've known you since it was pre-pandemic. I remember I met you in Elena in like 2018 or so.
Yeah.
And so I was familiar, and I always knew I wanted to work with you guys in some level because yeah. I love visual art, and I always wanted to find a way into that community. It's like, that's like, like I was saying, as a kid, I always wanted to be a visual artist. I remember being a child and like being, you know, as a memory, it's like whenever you think about what your life will be or what you want to be as an adult or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I wanted to be an artist like you guys, you know, in that way of just like having the easel and paint and painting and stuff like that. That was my vision for myself at one point. I mean, very small, right? Like, mm-hmm. And just, but I also learned at that time that it's like artists don't make money. You know, that's not necessarily a job, a career that, and so I kind of had that, practicality type of mindset where it's just like, I know I couldn't actually just be that, I think.
Mm, yeah.
And to be, because I always knew I wanted to have money and have, you know, mm-hmm. the things.
Well, so many
that I
people
wanted.
Tell you.
Yeah,
like,
that too.
Like, I feel like growing up, when I told people I wanted to be an mm-hmm. artist, they're like, well,
I think that's exactly
what that. Else do you want to do? Like,
it's right, exactly like the same thing that happened
every,
to me.
Yeah. Like every time someone says that, mm-hmm. like every time someone tells someone they're right. an artist, they just immediately yeah, just are like, well, you can't make any money from that.
Or they just look at you like, you know, that's the starving artist thing, right?
Right.
It's like someone, and I met so many people that are that. I mean, most artists are you know, starving for, you know, it's like you give up so much. I think that's something that, you know, is noble about it too, is that you give up so much to create something that is just, it's necessary. We need it in the world. But it's like nobody wants to pay what it's worth, and like you can't, you yeah. know, we should all be making money and getting to create art just as much yeah. money as an accountant or a lawyer or whatever, you know?
Right.
It's like,
well, even like, I mean, there's so many, I think that like art is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like if you're creating something, you're making art.
Yeah.
Like culinary right. arts, mm-hmm. music is art. Mm-hmm. And pretty much any, like even how you decorate your house mm-hmm. or like how you clean your
yeah,
house,
even,
that's
yeah.
art because you're doing something, you're moving things
right.
around.
You have a vision that you want to portray onto the world.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I'm always wondering why visual art mm-hmm. is always seen as not as mm-hmm. valuable, unless it's like a really old, you know, artist that's already
yeah.
passed away, and you know, like this historical artist, mm-hmm. like why are they all the only ones that, you know, have
right that could actually, you know, call it a career or something like that.
Yeah. And there are artists, you know, mm-hmm. that are successful, and mm-hmm. I would like to talk to them and see how to
figure like, what's the trick.
Yeah, right? I'm trying to figure yeah. out how to just do that and, mm-hmm. and make it on that. And you do have to like put your eggs in a lot of baskets
yeah.
in order mm-hmm. to do that. I found like
yeah.
a lot of artists do pop-ups, but then they yeah. also have stuff online, and they mm-hmm. also have stuff in this gallery and maybe this gallery and this gallery.
Yeah.
So they do a lot.
It's very like entrepreneurial too. I think mm-hmm. you have to be your own business. Because
yeah.
I have talked to, I mean, obviously I know a lot of the artists at the gallery, at your gallery. So, and that's more of like the people that we all have like two or three jobs, or, you know, we
yeah.
have other jobs and trying to do art and do all these other things.
Yes.
So it's like, that's kind of one level. But I have talked to, because we do go to, like, we went to the SoonerCon, and we were just talking about her, Alexandra Brott. Mm-hmm. Like, she's a full-time artist.
Yes.
And makes a living off of it.
Yeah.
And there are people like her that that have found the way to do it. But it's, like you said, she's probably doing all kinds of things to make that up to actually have a full-time salary.
Yeah. You know? And a lot of the times artists will get burned out because they're chasing the money because, you know, to survive, to make, you know, to be able to support yourself with the art. And a lot of artists burn out because then that passion for making things kind of dwindles. So you definitely have to figure out that balance for sure.
Yeah, that's something I've always, I like, because I don't do just one thing because of that reason. I think I get burnt out easily doing the same thing over and over. That's why I like playing music, but I also like doing podcasts, and I also like graphic design, and you know,
it is like, nice to do a lot of things for sure. So,
I mean, that's they're all like kind of similar in a lot of ways. Or I blend them together,
right? and one thing will inspire another thing,
exactly.
And so it's kind of like perpetuating itself, or like the momentum is there because you're doing a lot of different things that you like, and honestly, that's how like the gallery, like operating the gallery has been like that, because
there's so many things.
It's like Elena and I are the only ones that are really operating the gallery right now. We do a lot. Like, we have to do our own advertising and like, you know, this is the first time we've owned a business. And so we're just figuring it out. And I was just tired. Like, we were both tired of like waiting around. Like you have this idea that if you want to do something, you have to do it a certain way. You have to go to school and then get your degree, and then you can start thinking about the business. I don't have that time, and I don't have that money to put to school, so I'm like, I'm just gonna do it and figure it out. So that's kind of what we're doing.
That's all you can do. But I think going back to that, because I think that there is no one way to, like you were saying, like to find success, right? Like there's, I think, a million paths to success, and like we each have our own way, and I think you could find it. I mean, but everybody's going to be different in that, in what you have to do to reach those levels. Yeah. I think a lot of it is defining what you want, what success is to you. You know what I mean? Like where do you want to be? I think if you don't know what that is, you're never going to find anything. Yeah.
And you shouldn't listen to someone else's definition of success, because it's probably not going to work for you.
I mean, unless it is, I think you could hear somebody talk or see someone else's success and be like, I want that. You know, I mean, that's what, like, you want.
You can look up to it.
It's inspiring. But like you said, I mean, you shouldn't let anyone tell you what you need to do or what you should be, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's a good point for sure. But I do think it's like we all just have to figure it out on our own in a lot of ways. I mean, you can talk. That's why I like doing the podcast too, is it gives people a chance. We can talk about strategies and things like and hopefully learn and share with other people that want to learn and stuff, that they might find some tricks or different things that they could use to, you know, better themselves and whatever they're wanting to do.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just going to make, I mean, my true goal too is to empower everyone, all these creators that are watching in Oklahoma, because I want to grow Oklahoma art and community and things like that.
Recently, I've been thinking, like, what if we only consume or take in media from the community local that you are in.
Right.
I'm like, what if we do that? And then we build each other up that way.
Yeah.
And then we could even like go talk to that person. Like, because they're right there, you know, like,
yeah, it's like, I mean, that's something that I've always, I don't know. I mean, I agree with that. I think that I try to do that a lot. My thing is, like, I don't really spend too much time anymore these days consuming other media, like mass, you know, mass market entertainment and stuff like that. Like, I don't pay for Netflix or, you know, occasionally there are certain things that you really love that you want to see. You know, it's like, I love Marvel comics and the Marvel movies. Of course, I'm always going to go watch those, but it's like, besides that, I think I'm not like spending hours of day watching Netflix where it's like,
you're like, I'm going to make my own stuff to watch.
My thing is like, I just, all that time I spend creating other stuff. So for other people, but I think that it's, that is something that some people could focus on that do watch a lot of Netflix, or especially if people are complaining that there's nothing to watch or, you know, whatever. It's like, just like you're saying, go to Mycelium, meet these artists. Like, you can be inspired by all kinds of cool things that people create that are right here. Yeah,
I've been inspired by the artists that I've worked with doing this project.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm honestly shocked about like how fast it's grown and just, like this is the first year that we've been at this location. Just like seeing everyone work together like naturally and like figuring out how to kind of like guide that, I guess, or
And kind of facilitate it.
Yeah.
Because you guys are definitely I think of it, it's like, it is a safe place for people to go and explore. Cause that's something that's necessary, I think, whenever you're creating, is you have to be, I always think about this with children. It's like, if a child doesn't feel safe in an environment, then they're not going to be able to learn and create and things like that.
Right.
And explore, you know, you have to have that feeling of safety.
Right.
And there's,
That's one reason why we're trying to create a sober environment there. Yeah. We have a mocktail bar and a coffee and tea bar. We don't serve any alcohol. Because we're really trying to cultivate that, that safe environment, where people can feel comfortable to express themselves and be and explore their own individual self, because everyone is so different and we see things so differently, like our perspectives vary, I don't think we should put ourselves in a box.
Right. Yeah, you want to be able to explore and learn and see other people's creations that are gonna help you and come up with an idea that you want to create, because that's something that I started going to the gallery, because that's what I was getting get back to. I met you guys 2018, so I thought you guys were really cool, and it's like, I'm always drawn to other creative people that are creating in Oklahoma, because it's always, I'm always looking for that. I think so many people say that it's like, oh, I want to, you know, you hang out at the bars and talk about starting a band with your buddy or whatever, and it's like, okay, well, that's not actually going to happen, because we're drunk and just talking mess and stuff. So it's like, but there are those, but I'm serious about it, but they're, you know what I mean? Like, they're not.
Well, I think that
it's rare to find people like you guys.
Well, I think that I just spent a lot of time doing that.
Right. Talking
like
about.
Just being like, I'm going to do this. Right. I'm going to do that. And like have all these ideas, but not actually like put them into reality. And then one day when I met Elena was when I think I got out of that because she was actually doing stuff and like putting her art out there. And that's very vulnerable. Yeah. So like getting past that vulnerability is a lot. But if you can see someone doing that and they're brave enough to do that and they're just doing it, it makes you want to do it too. That's... So I was like, oh yeah, I can do this. So I just started doing little things. Right. Like I just started doing little things with her and we hosted different events.
Because I remember meeting you guys, one of the first things I saw you guys do together was like the fashion shows and stuff, right? At the Bad Grannies.
Yeah, we did like five fashion shows together. Mm-hmm. And the first one was in Red Rooster, that dive bar over in Sayo.
I love that place before.
Yeah. The Red Rooster, and it's a restaurant now. Yeah. It's really, looks completely different.
I went in there once since it, and I was like, this is just...
it's not the same.
It's not at all.
But yeah, that was our first one. And then we started doing outside of Bad Grannies. Mm-hmm. They were really fun.
Yeah.
And that was like Elena and I's first like real project together, where that kind of like sparked a lot of creativity.
It's like you start thinking about all the other things that are possible.
Yes. I'm like, we could do this weird thing. Yeah. Like, what other weird thing can we do?
Yeah. And especially when you see that people are interested in it and the things that you create.
And even though it wasn't perfect, like, I know it wasn't perfect. We were drinking a lot, you know, like it was
but it's
kind of a mess a little bit, but that was the thing about it was that it was messy and that was okay to be messy.
It's just fun, I think. And no matter what, it's like if you're having fun doing it, then it shows. I think
people will have fun.
It's like infectious in that way,
right?
It's like
I
think about that a lot when we're playing music. It's like even if there's not a good turnout or whatever at a show, it's like you just still have to
at
have
least
fun.
You're having fun,
because if you look like you're having fun on stage, then whoever is watching you is gonna enjoy it more.
Yeah,
you know,
right? Exactly. It's like, oh, they're having fun. Yeah, I want to have fun too.
So it's like, I think it definitely has an effect. So
yeah,
the fashion show. So like, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the videos that we make for Mycelium Gallery, the Spotlight Artist Series.
Yes.
Because that's something that I was inspired by. I mean, just getting to work on that with you guys kind of, you know, allowed me to explore and figure out how to make these type of interview videos and things like that, which led to all of this, honestly.
Cool.
In a lot of ways. I mean, I don't think that I would have written necessarily. I had ideas to do this for a while, so I probably would have, but it was definitely one of those things that led, you know, it was that next step. It's like, okay, when you asked me to come help you make those videos, it's like, okay.
You saw the first video. Yeah. We were like, oh, they just did this with a camera phone
much.
And it's real bad.
Yeah, it's just like, but I always knew, I was always good at editing, so it's like I knew I had that part down, but it was more of the how do you actually record the audio and get the video, and how does that come together? And so,
asking yourself questions.
It was
about
a good way for me to learn. So, can you talk about that? Like, how did you, when did you have the idea to even do that? And like,
I'm glad that you were inspired. That was awesome. So let's see. Elaine and I had an idea for, we were just trying to think of different events that we could do with art, with other artists, get to know them. And, so we created like the spotlight, you know, we had a spotlight artist, and our first spotlight artist was Nina Lucian. Mm-hmm. And, I was like, I've never thought about interviewing someone ever.
Yeah.
I never thought that I could do that. And I was like, let me just do this. Let me just try it. Like, you know, no one else is I knew if we were going to have a spotlight, we would need to have an interview.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll just do it. And it was really awkward, but I think that was the, like, that made it honestly,
like
charm. And I was like, you know, I've always wanted to speak in a microphone and be comfortable with doing that. I've always wanted to like speak in front of a crowd, and so I was like, maybe this is the start of that. So I just did it. I was like, let me just write down some questions that I want to know about this artist, and let me just do this interview. So that's kind of the how I went about doing that, or
That's awesome. You're just kind of a Because I was always curious. I mean, it's just like, is that something you had always thought about doing or something like that? But
I kind of like turned into something fun. I was like, well, I can get more creative with this. Yeah. And then I made the tea
especially
time
now. Yeah. Thinking about Barclay. Thinking about the different versions of it, because it started out in the old gallery and I was just using cell phones and I would do some angles. I had like one or I think I used... I always had this one little camera that I really like. It's a super wide angle one. Like quality is not the best. Like, I mean, it's not bad, but
you could see the entire artist wall. I was using
that one. Oh, because I also ran the microphone into that because it has mic inputs on it. So that was the only camera I really used. And then like one or two cell phones or something like that. So it was very bare bones. But it was fun, and like, and I liked getting in and trying to be creative with the editing and putting some cool filters and things or whatever, kind of experimenting with that. But of course, today, and those were very short even. They were like maybe 10, 20 minutes max.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I've got so many new, but it's just cool to think about the difference between those two versions of the Spotlight Artist interview.
Definitely. And like... Now we have more space too, and more light. the other gallery was very small and very dark.
Like maybe one window or two windows.
Not a lot of light.
But because now you do tea time with Barclay and
I've kind of made my own gimmick and like putting more creativity into that very basic interview, you know,
making a lot. And I think the people like them. I mean, the newer videos have gotten a lot of attention, I think, on your YouTube channel.
I find that when you're silly, people feel more comfortable with sharing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make my interviewee feel comfortable with, you know.
Yeah, you don't want it to, you don't want it to feel like real stuffy and like very like you're having a job interview or something like that. Like nobody is comfortable in job interviews.
Yeah, that's kind of how the first one was. But hey,
no. I mean, that's most interviews are like that. That's like that's another reason. Because I've always was aware of that, you know, problem, like you said, like with the people that are coming in to be interviewed are probably extremely nervous about a lot of things, but you don't want to have to add on more. And so I do try to think about that with when we have people come over and try to make it more. And I've been told too, and obviously everyone knows this, but it's like I'm a very relaxed person. I think I give off that vibe, so it makes other people relaxed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been told like by people that come over here, it's like it's very easy to just come and talk to me and on a microphone, even though it's like all these lights and stuff, it does and can be very intimidating.
Right.
But yeah, my goal now, especially with this, is like just try to make it straightforward, like we're just sitting in at a table drinking some tea and having a conversation.
Tea time.
Which that's the tea too.
Distraction.
Yeah. Well, but it's also calming, right? Like it calms the nerves.
Right. Yeah.
Drinking hot liquid and stuff like that. So it's a nice thing for you to do. Cause you always have you choose a different tea for each episode.
Yes, I let the interviewee pick what tea they want to drink, if they care. Some people don't like tea.
Or coffee. I think Elena drank coffee.
Yes, coffee talk with Elena.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was my interview.
Yeah,
so we just flipped the script, and she interviewed me.
Because that's something, too, I just realized, too, but I remember have you ever been interested in like acting and doing that sort of thing?
I have been in a musical before. Okay. Like after high school, my friends were doing Footloose.
Okay.
And so I was like, I'll try it. And like I've acted a little bit in high school. I did like I made these skits.
Drama. Yeah. Okay.
For the talent show.
Yeah.
I like thinking about different skits, and I have thought about doing some acting. And I think that I have some ideas for the gallery to do some little things.
Yeah, especially Well, that show that Jeremy and Lauren did, right?
Yes, the variety shows.
That was,
shows.
Like, very fun, and that could, yes. I imagine, was inspiring in that way.
Oh, my gosh. Those are so inspiring. Yeah. Very creative and hilarious.
Especially because y'all set up, and I've told them this, too, but it's like that setup was perfect for that because you had the mushroom that was the dressing room that they used to come out, and it was just like, wow, this is, like, you could definitely put on shows like that there, you know, with all kinds of whoever wanted to do something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that we're slowly, like, gearing more towards that, too, so more performance.
Yeah.
And I think our next, we're doing another performance show. Moth is hosting, Moth and Abby are hosting a drag show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On the 22nd. So we are doing more performance stuff.
Yeah, because that's like something that I've always thought about. I mean, especially with you guys, but I think about this with everyone. It's like, you know, we gotta get some music in there, you know.
Yes,
but it's like music is tricky in some ways because it's like you don't want like a bunch of rowdy rock music and stuff that's like in an art gallery.
Yeah, we have we've talked to some people about doing acoustic stuff. Yeah,
you want something more chill, I think, generally.
Yeah. So we do have some plans to do some other musicians as well. But yeah, we do have to keep it chill because that place is very industrial and it's an art gallery. So we want people to be able to talk while the music is happening. And it's kind of like it can be background music or you can sit there and like it's it's more of an intimate music feel.
I don't know. I know that something I've talked to Elena about this and I think she's talked to them, but there's a group that does experimental music.
Yeah.
Dissociation.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yes.
Yeah, those guys are cool. I've been to one of their shows.
I still haven't. I need to get out. I just need to get out.
But I think that it would be perfect for y'all to have. Because it is pretty chill. I mean, it's usually just one, maybe two people or whatever the artist is. But it's usually like one person just doing weird stuff with a guitar. There was a girl that was like a cello player.
Nice.
But it was weird. Like it wasn't just cello music. It was some trippy stuff. But she did. But I think that she even used like a saw, like one of those wobbly, bands.
That sounds so cool.
And like was doing stuff with that. I mean, it's just like cool stuff. But that is like a performance. Like you want to watch that because it's just cool
and
different.
They're called dissociation.
Dissociation.
Yeah, because it seems like a lot of people are in, like, want to dissociate. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like a lot of media kind of makes you do that and like just numbs your brain. And so it's kind of cool to like see a band that's like doing that live and like kind of being creative with that, that idea, especially when that is such a pressing, like, I don't want to say it's a problem, but it can turn into a problem, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, all of it, I think, too, can be tricky. I wanted to ask about before we get off, the last thing about the video stuff. Where do you see it going? Like, what's the next thing for the video?
For the interviews?
Yeah, what do you think?
That's a good question. So we're kind of, like, rethinking the spotlight. At
like
the gallery.
The whole event even.
Yeah. So I think we're going to have more of like a showcase and like spot like a few different artists. I think that I'm definitely going to have some more tea times.
Maybe more like standard like you've been doing, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I think that's, I haven't really, I'm kind of thinking more of other things, but I do want to do some more interviews.
Yeah,
sure.
Do something for sure because those have been good. And
maybe
I think
like
it's
some shorter ones.
Yeah, like that because we've talked about it already. It's just doing because I think that what would probably work is if we had, I don't know, maybe like we could even do it. What we should do is do it during the mycelium sessions, like have and just invite like two or three artists or whoever, maybe, I don't know, and then do them during that, so we can kind of do some like quick, you know, 5 minute, 10 minute ones or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And just have that them, because it would be a gathering, so people would be hanging out, but we could be in the corner doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
That could work.
That's true. And yeah, then we could like, we could use those creative, those collective creative vibes to make it, maybe if it, if I like felt like I was performing in front of people, I would be sillier.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, but that was an idea. Yeah. I know we've talked about how to get people, you know, how to get more people in one space. The problem with it is,
multiple people at once.
It's like you can't, okay, we have to come, you know, meet up at the gallery at this time and set up all this stuff. And then it's like, it's hard to do that.
And then with, it's just that one person. That, that makes sense. Because so, then you're already there. Right.
And it's like, if everyone's there and we just set up the cameras and lights for, you know, a few hours and then have, or whatever it is, and then have multiple people.
Yeah. Being more efficient.
Yeah. Because that's what I always think about whenever you talk about, whenever we've talked about doing multiples, it's like, it's just harder because it's a lot more setup if you can't do it on one setup.
But yeah.
Yeah. That could work. Sense. I don't know.
Cool.
But yeah. So going back to that, what we're getting into, I kind of just wanted to touch back on that. Is kind of this idea of like mindfulness and like we were talking about dissociation and stuff like that. It's like, I know that you're big into meditation and things like that, because I know you post a lot about it. I think that one thing that I don't use it, I use the Waking Up app. If you know about that, it's actually, it's not a free app, but you can get it for free. They'll give it to you for free if you just ask.
Okay.
You have to send an email and stuff, but they'll give you, like, it's called, like, a scholarship. But they'll give you, like, 6 months for free, and then you can just keep doing that. I've done it for, like, a year or so.
Wow. That's nice.
But they have a ton of really, really good guided meditations on it.
Cool.
Like, all different, you know, varieties. But the one you showed me, and I have it, I just don't, I use the Waking Up because I just, like, what they have, but the one you use, what do you know the name of it?
Yeah, so it's called Insight Timer.
Yeah, I have it right here.
And I like that one because it's all free. Yeah, like you can pay for it, but there's a lot you can do without paying for it.
They have a ton of stuff on there.
Yeah, there's even just a timer where you can like do a, like either have music or just a silent meditation.
Right. And it has bells and things.
Yeah, you can like have like a gong before and after. But they also have guided meditations. I think they have some like live yoga stuff.
Because I actually need to look at that, because I have been doing some yoga just on YouTube, but I forgot that they have yoga on there.
YouTube's great for YouTube for yoga and meditations too.
That's what I use. I was using YouTube for a little while before I got the Waking Up app, but so how long have you been into that kind of practice? Or I'm curious.
I think I started doing yoga first. And I did, I started getting into yoga, it was like 2015 or something like that. I was like getting into like going to the gym and being healthy and doing fitness. And that's when I got into yoga. And then I realized that it was... like yoga can be meditative and it could be all these different things. Like it's great for stretching. And then I got into meditation from that because I think I did like some yoga classes where they did a meditation.
You're like, oh, this
is nice. And so, that's when I got into meditation around that. I think it was like 2016, 2017.
That's been a long time. I don't know. Yeah, I've only been into it for about, maybe almost 2 years or a year and a half. And I think it's been life changing for me, honestly. Like it's like my whole mindset is different and on a daily, like just every day. It's like I don't have the anxiety. My big thing for it was the only reason I got into it was my anxiety was so bad. After the pandemic, I struggled with social anxiety. I've always had social anxiety, but it was just you know, multiplied tremendously after a pandemic and getting back into the society and, you know, exposing myself to the world again was very tough. And it was a long road of recovery for me after that. But meditation was a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And just learning to, when I got into it, it was interesting. I just got into the breath work first because I was trying to figure out how to calm myself down.
Yeah.
You know, from just, I would just get, my heart rate would just start elevating randomly, almost seemingly anyway. Mm. And it would just be like, okay, how do I, you know, figure out how to
regulate that,
be more calm. And so I started doing the breath work stuff, and then that kind of, which is called yoga nidra.
Yes.
It's like the, that's the, when I got into it, meditation was doing that for like 2 or 3 months. That was all I was doing. I didn't even do any like regular guided meditations.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is, and it was very helpful and just made me feel better every day. And like, and especially when I do it continuously, like after a while, it was just like, oh, and then I think all meditation is like this, like the more you do meditation, the less you need to do it.
Yes.
And I think that it's like,
yeah,
you start to do it all the time in a way.
Yeah. Recently I've been, it's been hard to like find time to just sit down and do like an actual guided meditation. I try to do some like, they're like 20 minutes or 10 minutes.
That's what's usually nice. You could do a 5, 10, up to 30 minutes or an hour or whatever.
As long as you're focusing on your breathing and like just noticing what's happening, that's pretty much all, you know, it doesn't matter how much time spent.
Right.
Usually a lot of my meditating is when I'm driving, honestly, and I'm just doing like breathing exercises and trying to like breathe into my belly and trying to be aware of what's happening on the road, because freaking streets are crazy right now.
Yeah, you definitely want to be. That's what's like, I always think about that too, because I took a trip, it was last year, around this time, actually, we drove to Denver, Colorado. You're familiar with that drive.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Yes.
So that's a long, long drive. And the first time I did it, or I've done it like 3 times, I guess. But
I love that
this
drive,
time,
by
but,
the way.
Well, like the first time I did it, it was horrible. I hated it. And it was like, the second time, I think it was me and Nick went up there.
That helps.
And that was fun, but it was still like, by the end of it, by the time we got there, I was just delirious and just like, I don't know. I just can't stand being in a car for more than like half an hour, really.
Right. It's like, but mountain's
then,
cool.
But what's
like,
weird
let me just
is
get
like,
on the ground.
And then so I started doing meditations and stuff last year, and then we went on that trip, and it was a completely different experience. Like, because I was driving a lot of it too, and I was just like zoned in on just this, the freaking landscape and stuff, and it was just like very relaxing.
Nice.
And I was just like, holy crap, this is like changed my perspective on road trips, I think.
Yeah.
Just because
cool.
you can just, you know, get lost in this, you know, and allow these thoughts to just like, I don't know. I think the big thing for me too is I've always had overactive kind of thinking.
Same.
And stuff like that. So it's like learning how to just let those thoughts pass and not focus on those.
Yes.
That's been massive for me. But yeah, it was just like you would just stare into the vista and just let those thoughts just run off you and not, you know,
and it
get
helps
sucked in.
Because you're, when you're, you know, you're driving, so all this stuff is like,
yeah, it's
going
coming
behind
at you,
you,
right?
It's going behind you, so it feels like you're just like letting it go.
That's an interesting. No, but one thing I think about a lot, because I do walking, I walk,
nice,
like, and I've been doing this for probably almost 3 years. I'll go to Lake Hefner, go to the river downtown and put on music and just walk for an hour and a half or, you know, like 5 miles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was massive for my health, physical health. But a lot of it, there's a meditation aspect to that too, because something about letting the world come at you and like you feel like you're moving through the world.
Yeah.
And there's different ways you can kind of focus on that aspect, and it's a meditative experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Walking definitely releases a lot of energy too, and it doesn't feel like you are, but it's just, you know, you're
that was
letting
for me,
it go.
It's like I need it now, and it's like I haven't been able to do it
I haven't either.
Lately, like, because of my new job. But it's necessary. I have to do it. Like, if I don't, it's like I build up a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And that I need it to release and just... And I feel like I come up with so many ideas. Or I kind of make, like, more like resolutions while I'm there. It's like I kind of, you know, resolve myself to do something that I want to do. And it's like, whereas otherwise I won't. I think it's weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely necessary for me.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, all of it. It's like I'll never not do meditation, I think, in some level.
Yeah. Even like when I'm, you know, working on a piece, like if I'm drawing, I try to like get into that meditative state and just let the creativity flow and not have to control it or anything. Like a lot of my art is just letting it go and letting it flow out of me and not really thinking about it too much and just letting that, like, whatever that, you know, those transmissions that are constantly going through your body, wherever they're coming from, like, just letting them go out. Or even, like, letting something that I've been holding on to, let that go. Because ultimately, like, holding on to things, that's what gives you those anxieties, is, like, the energy wants to go somewhere else and flow. But if you hold on to it, that's when... like it doesn't have anywhere else to go and it's just going to keep looping and looping and looping and bouncing around in your body somewhere.
Yeah. And getting making stuck. You feel bad or get stuck in different parts of your body. I feel like with, I've noticed this about myself and I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's true, but it's like, I feel like I hold a lot of anxiety in my legs for some reason. And I think that's why walking is really good for me. Because it's like I'm moving my legs because it's like that thing where it's like, even now, I'm pretty sure this whole time I've been like moving my legs around just because I'm, it's weird. I don't know.
You want to go be active and run around.
I think it is. I think it's something in my body that's like, it needs to be moving a lot, you know?
Right. That's why like, if I'm having a conversation, I usually like to fiddle drawing. With something.
Oh, yeah. That's me my whole life. Yeah. I'm notorious at like breaking things because like I always have stuff in my hands and just fiddling with junk. And it's like stuff will just, you know what I mean? If you have something like that's anything that like has a switch or something that you can like keep it away from me because it will not last long. So I've never really gotten into like those fidget spinners or anything like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I never necessarily liked those.
They were pretty fun, but it has to be small. Like
I
have like a piece of sticky tack.
I can just
or
have a pin. I mean, you know, just or like something. Yeah,
like doing like taking on and off the cap.
I do that a lot for sure.
And I hope that it's not distracting to someone else. Usually I try to like make it like not obvious that I'm doing it. But it does help like get the thoughts out because my hands are the things that are thinking the most.
Yeah.
So it needs to understand what's happening, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still figuring that out.
Interesting for sure. So let's see. I mean, that's kind of all I had. I know that one last thing that I'd like to bring up and just see what you want to say about, just because I know that you're very, from your Facebook posts and stuff like that, you're very, like, concerned about the world in general, like, as far as, like, I mean, there's plenty to be concerned about in the world.
Yeah.
That's, like, as a whole or whatever, like, I mean, or whether it's in our community or the country or the larger world.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with like when it comes to like recycling and just protecting the earth and things like that. Is there anything that you've had on your mind lately you want to talk about? I mean, I'm sure there.
Yeah.
You don't have to get into.
Well, there's a lot of that I want to say.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot that I.
Stuff, but.
There's a lot that I want to say that like. I don't know. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what's been, like, the big concern lately as far as anything? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like, I think that it's really important for people to listen to themselves. Mm-hmm. And, because we naturally have a lot of intelligence within us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, listen to other people and
like get their opinions from other
people. Yeah, and then just and because someone else said it mm-hmm. and maybe they look up to that person that's truth. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily that is not truth. Like that might be their truth,
right.
But everyone has their own version of the truth mm-hmm. because we all have our own personal connection with the earth and mm-hmm. with the universe, or, you know, just with anyone around us, you know, we have our own experiences and no one is going to have the same experiences mm-hmm. as
we all, like,
you do or me.
We all filter the world through our own experience or whatever, you know, so it's like,
yeah,
everyone's perceiving something. I do think about this a lot, is like how, especially when it comes to color, which I don't know that we want to get into that, but
that's a whole thing.
But like, yeah, we all experience the world differently. I mean, that's just the truth of it.
And no one has to be right or wrong because everyone sees it completely different. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why people have to put their truth onto someone else and tell them that is true mm-hmm. and that they're like forcing them to be like, no, this is true. Mm-hmm. You're wrong. It's like, no, how come we can't all be right?
Yeah.
And I mean, we're all going to be wrong at some point. Like,
for sure.
We're going to fuck up.
I think that
we're
going to
screw up because we're sorry. I don't know if
I can. It's fine. I mean, like, yeah. I think that it is like, people just need to accept that other people are, you know, that we are all different. I think that, like you were saying, everyone thinks that they're right and the world is the way that they see it. But that's, I think the truth is that we're all wrong, actually. Like, no one's right about anything because
I think no human
can actually really conceptualize or really understand the truth, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, we can't. I don't think our brains are meant to do that.
Right.
And honestly, I think the best way to know, like the best way to know the real truth mm-hmm. is to talk to everyone.
Try to learn more and more.
Try to understand mm-hmm. what someone else sees.
Yeah.
And maybe like you don't have to completely believe what they mm-hmm. believe, but just know, like, just try to understand mm-hmm. or try to see it from their point of view. Mm-hmm. But back to like the earth thing, I guess I could go on about that subject, but I think that, you know, we all have a personal responsibility mm-hmm. to get back to the earth. Mm-hmm. Like we've definitely, you know, over-consumed, mm-hmm. you know, what like the earth gives us.
The resources that we have.
And it's starting to retaliate. Yeah. Like, it's not going to stop now.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's our responsibility to be like, hey, like, what do you need, earth? Because mm-hmm. I'm sure the earth is feeling the effects of us more than we're feeling the effects of what's happening with the earth.
Yeah, because it's so easy to ignore. I mean, it is. And not for everyone, but I mean, everyone's like, people are suffering from hurricanes all over the place and mm-hmm. earthquakes
and,
you know, horrible things. But like, whenever, you know, whenever you're just living, we're living here in Oklahoma, hearing about a hurricane across the country, mm-hmm. it's like, well, it's so easy to just ignore.
And, right. You know, and that's like another thing, like, about disassociation is like, you know, all of those, like, thinking about people suffering mm-hmm. and people going through those things, it does give you anxiety mm-hmm. because, like, you want to help them, and but you don't know how. Like, we're all, like, we're here doing our own thing mm-hmm. and we want to do something good with our life. I think everyone does, mm-hmm. you know, they want to protect their family. They mm-hmm. want to protect themselves. They want to,
like,
they want to enjoy life and
that,
be happy. And like, and honestly, the earth gives us that mm-hmm. if we just listen to it. And I don't think a lot of people just want to talk and they don't want to listen.
Yeah.
But honestly, listening is probably the most important thing you can do. Mm-hmm. And that's where all the wisdom comes mm-hmm. from, is listening. So yeah, I like, in my, like, I'm just trying to change something just based on what I do, because that's the only thing that I can control.
Right.
That's the only thing that we can all control is what we do. So I'm, you know, I try to not buy things with plastic as much as possible. I know it's kind of impossible, but like reuse things.
Right. Recycle.
Recycle. I mean, like, I know, like, I would love to, like, figure out how to make the recycling system be more efficient
I wish we had a better recycling system here, for sure.
But that's, you know, that's something that we can improve on, and everything can be improved on. Like, we can't, like, I think it's so easy to give up hope and just be like, oh, well, that's it. Like, we're done, or like, you know, but we're not done until we die. Like, we're still here. I mean, so we still have a chance.
You still can keep doing things and trying to make things better. I think that's something I always focus on, especially when it comes to, like, even just this show. It's like, I feel like this show is my way of trying to make the world better. You know, it's like I'm trying to, or not, maybe not the world. Who knows? I may not have, I may not, and this goes for everything. It's like, you may not be able to have an impact on the world, but you can impact something immediately around you, you know? It's
right, like,
you can make your environment better.
Go give someone else a voice that might not have that.
Because my thing is, like, even bringing on people that have different skin tones and different, you know, men, women, different age groups. I mean, we had, you know, all kinds of different people on this show, and they talk about their experience, and it's like showing that, you know, maybe somebody sees an African-American artist that we have here, and they're a younger African-American that wants to be an artist, and they're like, oh, I see that person's doing it. So that gives them power to want to be able to do it too.
Yeah.
So it's like
building
this,
that inspiration. Yeah.
I think stuff like that is what I try to focus on, but
Going back to community is important.
It's like going quickly to the meditation stuff. There's one thing that I heard. I think it's like a Buddhist, you know, saying or something. But it's like you go into meditation to tend to the garden of the mind or something. Or it's like you tend to yourself with meditation, so that whenever you come out of it, you can tend to the garden of the world or your garden immediately. So you're trying to better yourself so that you can serve what's around you. And that's kind of what I've kind of taken to try to do.
And I think, and getting back to community is a really good way to honestly get back to the earth, because we're part of the earth.
Right.
And human nature, we need people to survive. It's just what we need. We need each other. And being isolated is not helping anything. Right. That is definitely a lot of what I see, a lot of the reason why there's so much anxiety. I mean, I experienced that, like, closing myself off from people and, like, I thought something was wrong with me, so I didn't want to share myself with anyone, because I didn't want anyone to take on my crap, you know. But really, like, going through, like, doing meditations and going inside and, like, just stilling that mind, because you don't have to listen to those thoughts up there. You don't have to. Like, you can it takes a minute for them to quiet, but if you're patient enough, they will quiet, and you can, like, have that that calm water, if you will. But I have done a lot of healing from just talking to someone. Like, just a simple conversation has healed me a lot, and I could tell that it helped them as well. And it does, like, it does give you a sense of, oh, I have support. And that's what we need.
You're not alone, I think.
Yes. We need to know that we can be supported. And it's important to know that, especially around us. Because I, you know, like, my family is spread across the United States. And then, like, I've had to rely on my friends for things.
Yeah, you have to build your own family and community here.
I've had to build that myself. Because I had no, otherwise I would have been freaking alone. And, like,
just miserable.
Yeah. And, like, I do have people that, you know, the more that I, the more that I think about it, the more I support that I have, and mm-hmm. and I didn't even realize yeah. it. I'm like, oh, I just need to mm-hmm. open myself up and accept that support too. That's mm-hmm. hard. That's hard as well. Accepting help is yeah. hard.
Yeah, I definitely feel that because I'm very like, I don't know. It's like I'm not that. I wouldn't say I struggle with being a part of a team because it's like I'm a musician. I play in bands. So it's mm-hmm. like I love being a part of a team in that way. But there are certain things like with this even. It's like, I mean, I would love some help. If anybody's out there that likes video and wants to come work with us on the channel, for sure, I'd love that. But I haven't found that right person yet, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
But it's like at the same time. Well, at the same time, it's like I don't trust other people that much to be able to do a lot of this stuff that I do with this stuff. So it's like it's hard for me to, like you were saying, to let, like, you know, accept trust. Help
yeah, yeah.
in that way because I know – in many cases with this stuff, that's like I know the most about it, you know, so it's like I can't really, it's hard for me to allow other people to work on that stuff. But like I said, when the right person comes along, for sure, I'll know it, and hopefully mm-hmm. they will be interested in working together, because that would be cool to have someone else that work on video and audio stuff here. But we'll see. It'll happen eventually, I think, that the more we grow and stuff like that, people will be more interested in coming. Because, I mean, I mm-hmm. do know some video people, but they're making their own stuff, you know? It's yeah. like, it's hard to do other projects with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, that's pretty much all I had.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess the last thing is where can people find your work? Do you want to shout out like your social media yeah. and stuff like that?
So you can find my art on Instagram, clay_bar. Mm-hmm. My artist name is Clay Bar. Mm-hmm. So I just switched the bar and the clay
but
and the clay
fun,
bar.
It's like a mirror.
It's
like the reverse.
Yeah, I feel like my art is a reflection mm-hmm. of me, but then I also take into consideration the world, so it's like just like multiple reflections, I guess.
Yeah.
but you can also find my interview and the interviews that I uh-huh. do with other artists on myceliumgallery.com, uh-huh. and you can find all the information from the gallery there. I don't have my own personal website, but
yeah.
MyceliumGallery.com.
Yeah, that's a good one. And Mycelium Gallery has Instagram and Facebook and all that.
And you can find my art at Mycelium Gallery.
Yeah, at the physical
location. I have my art displayed there.
What's
and
the
I also, is it's it? 2816 North Penn.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma City. I recently expanded my art. I have a few pieces mm-hmm. in Treasure Trove.
Oh, okay.
In Norman.
Nice.
I don't know the exact address, but it's called Treasure Trove.
Another gallery there.
It's like a vendor location.
Okay. That's awesome. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, and then, yeah, the gallery's doing tons of things all the time.
Yes.
I did want to shout out... I can pull it out too, because just so we have the information.
We do have an airbrush class.
Is that?
Oh, that's today.
Well, yeah. That's okay. this episode will come out on Friday the 15th.
Okay, so next, so Saturday
the
yeah.
16th, there's yes. a show. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, yeah, so we are doing an ornaments show. It's called Ornaments and Adornments. It's going to be all holiday ornaments, anything to decorate your house or have some... gifts. There'll also be jewelry there, and we'll have some music playing. The gallery is a great place to buy any gifts. We'll have like little stocking stuffers. Art is a great gift to give someone.
For sure. That's like probably the only gifts I'll ever buy again. They're going to be from your gallery probably.
Nope.
Because it's perfect. I think there's, especially at Mycelium Gallery, there's so many, a variety of stuff. Like even if you're not super into like abstract art, there are other
clothes.
Yeah. There's other things that, not all of it's super, you know, weird and different. Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's some more traditional art there, I think, on occasion at least.
Yeah. And we just got a new artist that has a bunch of prints.
Yeah.
We're slowly getting new artists in there as well.
Yeah. So I was just going to read the poster about ornaments and adornments. It is November 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. Are you still having the is the call still open for the artist?
That probably ended yesterday. But next year.
Yeah, but you're always having open calls for certain shows.
So yes, if you're an artist, we have different open calls for different group shows. Our next group show is going to be in January. We're doing a Zodiac themed show. Nice. So that application will be on our website soon.
So, yeah. And then the ornament show you did last year was really fun. I think last year you guys did it in December, right? So it was a little bit real tight.
I think it was in November. Okay. But it's going to be November and December. Right.
That's
so,
the thing. Having it now, is it like you have plenty of time to go up and check it out and buy some ornament gifts, I think, in time for the holidays.
Yeah, we'll also have a Yule market. Mm-hmm. I think that's on Sunday next weekend.
Yeah.
And then in December, we're going to do an artist trading card market. Mm-hmm. So, like, just little, small, original trading card-sized art.
Yeah, okay.
Good for stocking stuffers. Yeah. And we'll have, like, a last-minute gift.
Yeah.
Like, open house kind of thing. So yeah, lots of little gifts that you can get for the holidays.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be good for you guys, because I know that there's been many struggles owning this place. And
yeah, we started with we've had like some sponsors, but they're all from the local community, you know, and this gallery has definitely been a community built
community effort
project. It has been a community effort, and we're using that to keep the community going. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of
the whole thing is
like symbiotic,
nurturing the community and building the community, but, and having a space that people can come in and make connections,
just having that kind of community vibe and space. Is like you go in, even if you go in maybe once or twice, like you'll start seeing familiar faces, the same people go a lot, and especially the artists that are there every time.
So
everyone, check out the gallery, and try to stop by. Is it a ticketed event for the show,
the ornaments show? The opening is ticketed.
So if you guys want to buy tickets for that, go to mycdmgallery.com.
Yes.
And check that out. And hopefully we'll see you there.
Got a mocktail bar and a coffee and tea bar. You can have some snacks too.
But all right. So I think that's it for the show. Thanks everyone for watching. Thanks Barclay for coming and talking to me. I think I think it went well. How do you feel about it?
I hope I said everything.
It was great. I mean, I think it was exactly what I wanted it to be, as far as the stuff that I know about you. It's like you have a lot of insights on art and just all that stuff that I wanted to talk about. So thanks.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys definitely be on the lookout for more one-on-one conversations with me and other artists. I wanted to have this show to expand, and mainly to kind of talk to more visual artists and musicians, because I think that we do that on the regular podcast, but not nearly enough. And
musicians and artists and visual artists kind of play off of each other, it seems.
Yeah, I think it definitely all does. So all right, well, that's it everyone. Thanks, we'll see you next time. Bye. Awesome.
Yeah.